Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here today, and I'm super excited to give you all today's podcast. This is my favorite thing that I get to do at Cyclone Fanatic. It's why I kind of look forward to the offseason in a weird way. I love doing these off-the-record podcasts where I have usually an unlimited amount of time with our guests. There's no commercial breaks. It's not like radio. That's one of the drawbacks of radio, where I can just sit down and pick the brains of current Iowa State personalities, former Iowa State icons, coaches, wherever. And I'm very excited today to unveil episode number one. But before I do that, this would not be happening without our loyal and great friends at the Iowa Clinic. I have gotten to know so many great people who work for this phenomenal company, and I could not be more happy to endorse them today. I want to tell you a little bit about the new expanded hours at the Iowa Clinic's physical therapy department. I'm going to talk to you about the one in Ankeny today over at 1410 Southwest Tradition Drive. I can tell you this, and you can check up on me. That's where I go for all healthcare. That campus over there at 1410 Southwest Tradition Drive. It's right over by the DMAC area. You're closing in on Prairie Trail. But this new physical therapy department, you know, they have expanded hours, which is key for a working man. Monday through Thursday now open from 7 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. and Fridays from 7 to 5. Of course, physical therapy that can help out you weekend warriors, maybe a little golf injury early on in the spring, rotator cuff problems, anything you need post-surgery. Male pelvic pain, all sorts of stuff. Those expanded hours are key. That's huge for a guy who's got a 9-to-5. Open till 6:30 now. That's the Iowa Clinic Physical Therapy Department over on 1410 Southwest Tradition Drive. Of course, thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. We love all of them. The Spine Center, want to give a shout-out to the folks at the Spine Center. If it weren't for the Iowa Clinic, we wouldn't do a lot of things here at Cyclone Fanatic, but this off-the-record podcast certainly would not exist. So today's topic, this is with the great Steve Wohner, a former Iowa State offensive coordinator under Dan McCarney. A lot of the old-timers will say that Loney's offense was the greatest Iowa State offense of all time in 2000, with Sage Rosenfels leading the way. Loney is fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that he has never been the head coach at Iowa State. When you look at his resume, what he's done in the NFL, what he's done everywhere he has gone. Loney, to me, when I look back at this, having interviewed him last week now, and I've had some time to soak this up, I'm not sure I've ever met a person besides Dan McCarney who loves, and Bill Finley, I would put Bill Finley into the mix, who loves Iowa State more than Steve Loney. It's fascinating to me. And here, I want to do a part two of this sometime down the road, because there's so many more questions when I've gone back and edited this that I would ask Mr. Loney. It was an absolute pleasure and honor for me to work with him. Now, I also realize we have a lot of really young listeners to our podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic. So because of that, I jumped on the phone with Sage Rosenfels, who played under Coach Loney. Everybody knows who Sage Rosenfels is with his career in the National Football League. And I picked Sage's brain about Steve Loney. I want to play that for our younger audience because I want you guys to realize how important this man is to the history of Iowa State football. Here's what Sage Rosenfels had to say about former Iowa State offensive coordinator. He's now the tight ends coach for the Dallas Cowboys, Steve Loney.
You know, when I came to Iowa State in Dan McCarney's second year, Troy Davis had just come off this first 2,000-yard year. So, you know, they come onto the scene, and Iowa State, you know, hadn't won games or even been competitive, really had nothing to cheer about in a long, long time. And, you know, McCarney's first year, Troy Davis rips off 2,000. And, you know, second year, in my freshman year, he goes for almost 2,200. And that was because of the offensive line. I mean, they completely changed what they did. You guys remember Todd Doxson was an option quarterback. And so they changed the system. They brought in some different guys, and they ran the zone running scheme. And Steve Loney was the architect of that whole thing. Every, you know, run play called, every scheme, every defense. He was the man that, you know, got those big guys up front in a very short amount of time to be able to make some holes for Troy Davis. So then obviously he was there for a few years and he left. And then really fortunately came back for my senior year. And we really brought a running game, which had been pretty solid in the Pete Hayner years, to a whole nother level. And I hold him, he has a huge response, a huge, not responsibility. He is a huge part of what we accomplished in that 2000 season, you know, going 9-3.
What's interesting to when I compare, well, not compare, but when I think of Steve Loney too, I think of him for the same reason I think of you. And that's what you guys did after your time at Iowa State. And Steve has been in the NFL for well over a decade now. I'm just curious, during your time in the National Football League, what kind of a reputation does he have at the professional level?
Oh, he's very well respected at the NFL level. And, you know, from his time when he just got to the Minnesota Vikings originally until where he's been in a couple of different spots. I mean, if you're lucky to have Steve Loney somewhere on your staff, you're going to have a better offensive line and a better football team. So, you know, Jason Garrett is one of my all-time favorite coaches. He was, you know, my backup quarterback in 2004. And then, you know, 2005, he was my quarterback coach. And he's a phenomenal guy. You can't ask for a better ambassador for an NFL football team than Jason Garrett. And that guy knows good offensive line play. I remember he was Troy Aikman's backup, you know, back in the time of Emmitt Smith and that huge offensive line that the Dallas Cowboys had. So he understands the importance of handing the ball off rather than throwing it 50 times. And, you know, when he's building this football team and obviously had huge success recently, you got to realize Steve Loney is a part of that offensive line group and helping those guys and scheme and all those things. There's a reason that they've, you know, their running game has been exceptional the last couple of years.
Do you think Loney should have ever gotten a more serious look to be a head coach at Iowa State? Not necessarily when Campbell was hired or Paul or Chizik, but just over the years. Do you think that he's a guy who probably should have gotten a closer look?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when I was during those, you know, those coaching changes, I was still playing football for the most part, and it wasn't really, you know, paying attention all that much to, you know, who they were going to get. You know, I was sort of on the outside at that point, and you know, had I been more involved, I would have loved to, you know, stick my 2 cents in to whoever the AD would have been to say, hey, give Steve Loney a try. I mean, you gotta realize he's a guy that is from the state of Iowa, walked on at Iowa State, coached at Iowa State, had a huge amount of success, has coached at the highest levels in the NFL for with some other great coaches. He put together one heck of a staff, and I think he'd do a phenomenal job recruiting the state of Iowa and doing some of those same things that Dan McCartney did within the state and in the Midwest. I mean, I can imagine the good football players from Minnesota, you know, that might come down to Iowa State from his time up there with the Gophers and the Vikings. And so, yeah, I think that he is, you know, sort of what Iowa State is. He's homemade. He's old-fashioned. He's straight as an arrow. And I think he would have done a really nice job as the head coach at Iowa State.
So there you hear it from Sage Rosenfels, his thoughts on Steve Loney, who I'm about to interview here on the Iowa Clinic-sponsored Off the Record podcast. Again, the reason I reach out to Sage and the reason I reached out to Ben Bruns, I'm going to read you some quotes from Brunsy here in a minute, is I know how young some of our audience is, and part of the fun now that I'm becoming one of the old guys is that, you know, we can come on here and we can teach you guys about some of the behind-the-scenes people who make Iowa State so great. And I think Steve Loney is a guy who does that. I never got an opportunity to talk to Ben Bruns on the phone, but Ben did send me a couple of text messages, and I want to read these. Steve Loney made Troy Davis and Iowa State's offense some of the most prolific ever. He goes, I credit Coach Mack for having a vision of the type of offense that he wanted to run, the zero run game and West Coast passing before it was really popular in college football. But Loney was the guy to make it happen. He took a bunch of guys that weren't built for the system in year one and produced a 2,000-yard rusher. These guys have, they all, I don't want to say worship because that's got a ton of different meanings to it, but you talk to anybody who's played for Steve Loney, and I've done a lot of that here over the last couple of weeks in preparing for this interview, and they all love the guy. One final example, Jason Witten. You guys have heard of him from the National Football League. Witten has talked before about how Loney has prolonged his NFL career due to technique, and technique, a very important thing to Steve Loney. Iowa Clinic brings us the Off the Record podcast. Here it is, my conversation with former Iowa State offensive coordinator. He's a Marshalltown native. He's been an offensive coordinator all sorts of stops in the National Football League. He's currently the tight ends coach with the Dallas Cowboys. Here's my interview with Steve Loney.
Yeah, I want to start. I think it's really interesting just to know your background, Steve. So you're an Iowa guy. You grew up in Marshalltown, and you were on Dan McCarney, and then you went to Iowa State, actually. Played in two bowl games for the Cyclones, and you were on Dan McCarney's original staff back in 1995. So, Steve, when do you remember, like, your first thought of what Iowa State was? How old were you when you were aware of what was going on down there in Ames?
Well, being from Marshalltown, you know, as you well know, it's not very far away, and so I was very aware of Iowa State, at that time, I think. Iowa got a lot of the front page, and Iowa State not so much. But when I became a Cyclone, Johnny Majors in my freshman class signed a young man by the name of Jerry Moses, JJ's father. And he was a national recruit. And when Jerry made the commitment to Iowa State, I think that opened a lot of eyes. And also, people realized that what was going on there was going on for real. And I think, you know, it became apparent. You know, we were 8-3 one year. The three teams we lost to finished number one, number two, and number three in the country.
Wow.
So we were the Big Eight, of course, at that point in time. And in my senior year, Earl Bruce came in. And then I stayed on and coached for him, was a graduate assistant, and was really where my coaching career got started.
Did you was that Iowa State a place that you always wanted to get back to? As a coach,
absolutely. That to me has always been the greatest job that I've ever had, and it was my fondest years when I went back, not so much when I was a GA because you're low man on the totem pole, but we were over in Clyde Williams Field and my first job was to go over and pick up the mail that got delivered to State Gym. I had to get it and make sure the mail was back by 10 o'clock every morning. And I've told young coaches that story many times that, you know, take whatever job they give you, do the best you can, and then you'll see those job responsibilities grow. But when I came back in 95 as the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, I was, you know, to me, Iowa State's the pinnacle. I have coached a lot of places, but the place that's home for me, and also where, you know, I feel is the best job is Iowa State. I've always shook my head when, you know, we have conversations, and yeah, this was a, I was an Urban Meyer and I were on the staff together at Colorado State, and one time we had the conversation as to if you could have any job in the country as a head coach, what job would you have? And we went around the table, and of course, I won't reveal what Urban said, but it got to me, and I said Iowa State, and everybody looked at me like I was nuts. But that's how I've always felt.
What is it? Because it was home? Is it because of the people? Why would you pick Iowa State?
Well, I think any time you invest your time and your effort, I wasn't a great player. I walked on to Iowa State, and I think, you know, the people that become a part of your life, Dan Becker, who was on the team and best man at my wedding, and many of those guys, the fraternity brothers that we had, you get an investment there, and I think relationships really develop your thinking, and so I had tremendous relationships, and then I think, you know, it's like every alum, you always hear coaches when they say, well, the only job I would have taken is this job, and it was my job back at the alma mater. And so, that being said, I think it's a love for the school, a love for the relationships I had there. I think, you know, to me, it's why, whether there's 15 Division I athletes in Iowa or five, you've got to recruit Iowa hard. Because I know that when you line up against that team on the other side of the state, it means more to me than it means to that guy from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Do you think that I always kind of pushed you as a guy who should have gotten a really close look for the job? Were you ever close? Did you ever get a call over?
Well,
the
I think so. I sometimes your own worst enemy, and I probably I have core convictions that I believe in, and I have the utmost respect for Dan McCarney, the job that he's did at Iowa State. I think there should have been a statue up for him, and he's since been in the Hall of Fame, and which is well deserved. So I probably was not. I probably should have bit my tongue, you know, when Dan got fired. And then with the next two hires, I probably made my feelings known, which probably, especially after the first hire when Dan was fired. And so I probably shot myself in the foot, and so I have nobody to blame but myself. Not that I think I was wrong, that my opinion wasn't right, but sometimes, you know, I shouldn't have been such a hard head and so passionate about my beliefs, and that probably cost me. But I was close, and I think, you know, those convictions in the end probably kept me from getting that job. But that being said, I that to me would have been the greatest job going. And I will also take it a step further. While maybe I didn't agree with a couple of those hirings, I absolutely love the hire of Matt Campbell. I think that was a great hire, and I have no question that that's something that's going to blossom into something that everybody's going to be very proud of.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Mr. Loney, because a couple of the elder boosters that I talk to often, you know, around the sidelines, they came up to me, I think it was last year during the spring game, and they said something to me that I'll never forget. And one of them said, you know, I've been around here since the days you were there, the Johnny Major days is what he was referencing. And he said, I'm seeing things right now that I've never seen before, because I don't know what that's going to turn into, but something's different about what's going on right here. And he was referencing, you know, his admiration for Matt Campbell. And it matched up with a lot with what you just said. So why do you feel that strongly? I know that you spent some time there last spring with Coach Campbell. Why do you feel so strongly that he's the right guy?
Well, let's go back and go back into my history with Iowa State. So I learned from Johnny Majors. There's a guy that had a tremendous staff. Joe Avezzano, that was a long time, who's since passed, was my position coach, head coach at Oregon State, was a long time Dallas Cowboy assistant coach. Jackie Sherrill was an assistant there. And so without going through the entire staff, a very, very strong staff. Johnny, very charismatic, outgoing, charming guy. And then Earl Bruce. And you look at Earl. You know, so Johnny took us to 8-3. And his goal, and he ended up back there, everything he did with his jobs was to get him back to Tennessee. And he went to Pitt. There's some great Johnny Major stories, but one is which the rule about how many players you can sign in a year is because of Coach Majors. He went to Pitt, and his first year at Pitt signed 95, players. And so, but anyway, that's another day. So Earl Bruce then takes Iowa State to 8-3. And a different type guy, Earl, very hard-nosed, solid, unbelievable core to him. And I learned from Earl. And then, to me, the next guy you mentioned is Dan McCarney.
Yep.
And we had the winningest team in school history at 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Dan, and he had all that charisma, and you know, he was kind of back in the Johnny Majors mold of, you know, he could be the mayor. And but he put together a strong staff, in my opinion. And as that, you know, at times, you know, that staff changed, that, you know, that history will talk about it. But you know, Dan is a guy, and you talk about recruiting. When we came to Iowa State, I know for a fact that coaches were told on staffs that had preceded us that you recruit those guys, but if Iowa comes in and starts recruiting them, just say, hey, thanks, and head the other direction. And that was against everything Dan McCartney believed in. And we signed Bill Marsaw, was the first guy. There was only one that we beat Iowa on. But it was the beginning. And Dan, without a doubt, was the best recruiting head coach I'd ever been around. And from there, then I think you go to Matt Campbell, and what I see out of Matt, he makes you feel important, you know, when you go back there, that it, you know, that as an alum and a former player and as a guy that coached there, I felt very welcome. It was a wonderful day that I spent in Ames. You go back, as I work players out, and I was at the University of Iowa working a player out, and I went through and Coach Ferentz has always been very nice to me and very welcoming, I think a lot of him. But as I go through their facility, he told me that somewhere in that building, everybody that has lettered at Iowa, their name is somewhere in that building. And as I came back to Iowa State, prior to Matt Campbell, you didn't necessarily feel welcome. I mean, you were there, and you know, but it wasn't that. Matt Campbell makes you feel great. I don't know; they probably haven't accomplished. Although I shared that story with Matt, but I guarantee you that as an alum and a former player, that you feel like you have a stake in that program. The other thing I would tell you, and this is something that old geezer like me, you know, it's hard for me to keep up with, but I've even, as I was telling you before we got started, I follow you. I've followed a lot of people in the Iowa State program on Twitter. And so I keep an eye on what they're doing, and I am so impressed with all of their efforts recruiting wise and so on. Now, I didn't get to know their staff. I'm sure that's a, you know, it's a strong staff because they've got a strong head coach, but I'm really 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 impressed, and he's a guy that loves Iowa State. And I know for a fact that there have been people that preceded him that all Ames, Iowa was a stepping stone to take him to someplace else. And as an Iowa Stater, I've always resented that.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone in that sense. Do you think that Matt Campbell will be there for a while? You don't think that this
I do.
Yeah. Has he told you that?
I haven't asked him. Because, first of all, what else is he going to say?
Yeah,
it'd be stupid to say, no, the first chance I can leave, I will.
Yep.
But he's genuine. You know, and the one thing I would tell you is that, first impressions mean a lot to me, and one of my strengths, I think I can see the core of a person, good and bad, and I know his wife, one time they were wanting to get together, you know, the staff, and she asked my daughter Katie, as to, you know, what places would you suggest. And they ended up going out to the Open Flame in Gilbert. And, you know, if you've been there, it's a great place. I've always, we go to the Open Flame, but when you think, you know, here's this big high-profile guy, mm-hmm. and where's he going? But, you know, he takes his staff out to the Open Flame. So, you know, there's a genuine, you know, a guy that, like that, those are people that feel great about Iowa State.
You've accomplished, you and your long friend Dan McCarney have accomplished more at Iowa State than any staff when you guys won 9 games. And I think that was the best offense in Iowa State history back in 2002. So if I were to ask you just the broad question, and you've had aspirations to be the head coach, what is the most important trait to, or when it comes to winning at Iowa State, what would you say is the most important thing?
Well, I think any lifeblood is recruiting, and that may be just too simplistic an answer, but you know, you have to have the talent to be able to compete in a Power 5 conference and to go to bowl game after bowl game. So, you know, it comes to recruiting. Now, how you identify those people that fit your culture and can assimilate into Ames, Iowa, and, you know, maybe not to start, but after 4 or 5 years, feel about Iowa State the way I feel about Iowa State, those people will, I think, will take the program to the top. Now, and I hope I haven't exaggerated this, because I think I'm pretty certain it's true. But when Earl was 8-3 and went to a bowl game at Iowa State, 17 of the 22 starters were from the state of Iowa.
Wow.
And and back then, you know, people always wonder why such a strong rivalry exists. If you don't know the history, then you don't understand the passion of an Iowa Stater.
Do you remember what do you remember about the day when you guys first beat Iowa?
Oh boy. I could almost take it play by play with that, but you know, all those things that fans remember are kind of seared in my soul and branded on my brain, and I just remember I've played them 6 times and I'm 4-2. That's all I know. I'll go to my grave, you know.
It's
winning
a good record.
More than I lost. I'm sorry, 4-3.
Okay.
4-3. So I'm over 500, which if I wasn't, then I'd have to go back and somehow get another shot at him, because I wouldn't die without having that happen. So
I love that. What about Dan McCarney? How often do you guys talk these days?
We talked a lot when Troy was being inducted. Dan was the one that called me and told me that he had been put into the College Hall of Fame. So we talked about that, and it's things get so hectic. You know, maybe after I retire, I'll do a better job. But, you know, I'll shoot him. It's a nice thing about texting, because you think about somebody a lot more than you ever pick up the phone and call them. But, you know, you can shoot a text real quick to let somebody know you're thinking about them. And so we've remained close.
I still think that I think you're on to something about that Dan McCarney statue. That's a really good idea. I had never they made one for Johnny Orr, and I feel Steve like Dan.
Come on.
Like Dan.
Come
was,
on.
Yeah. What do you mean by come on?
Well,
the fact that Johnny
of all,
Orr
I'm
has
a
one.
Tim Floyd guy.
The fact that Johnny has one and Dan doesn't, is that why you're saying?
Yeah,
that?
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
You're a Tim Floyd guy. Do you see him much? Because he was down in UTEP there for a while. I guess that's.
Well, he still is.
Oh, he still is.
Still
okay.
Is.
Do you keep
no,
in touch with him?
I stay in touch. In fact, a year ago, he said, "Hey, there's this basketball player that you know, I don't think he probably has a career in the NBA, or you know, he might, but it'd be short lived." But you may think of him as a football player, and people in Ames will know this name very well, Rico Gathers.
Oh, yeah.
And
very, very aware of
him. So I went and worked him out, and we drafted him. And he hadn't played football since his seventh grade year. And so he's on the team. It's been interesting in developing Rico. You know, you assume, especially once you get to this level, about stances and starts and getting in the huddle and hearing a play call, that, you know, that that you couldn't assume with Rico. But that all came from Tim Floyd, at least starting the process. So he and I stay in touch every, you know, he always says, you know, will tell me basketball players that he thinks would, you know, and because he's an excellent recruiter, he'd say, you know, the kid was offered by Penn State and football, and but he chose basketball and all that stuff. So Tim and I, you know, will stay in touch, and my son-in-law is the head basketball coach at Valparaiso, and so yeah,
they just switched conferences.
Well, yeah.
Or they're going to.
I'm not privy to all that. I only know what I see. But so he'll be in Des Moines if they make that switch. He'll be in Des Moines on at least once a year, and down in Springfield, Missouri, which is close to our home down there, and. So, you know, that conference is good for our family.
You brought up Troy Davis a few questions ago, and I wanted to go back to that. I mean, come on, he got jobbed with the Heisman, didn't he? He should have won the Heisman.
Oh, no, there is no question. You know, because I've lived through that. First of all, he's done something that nobody in the history of college football has done. And then rush for 2,000 yards back-to-back years. Nobody. And I think the way it is now with players coming out early, if a guy rushes for 2,000 yards, I'd bet you he's going to head to the NFL. So, I mean, this record could go for a long, long time. You know, I believe that. I think he's a great college player, and I think it's like everything. You talk about his strengths, and you don't talk about the weaknesses of others. But, you know, you look, and he's done something that nobody else has done in college football. You know, as we went through that, there you would read national journalists. Would I say that with quotation marks around journalists because they didn't know. They would say, well, he's getting a bunch of junk yards at the end of the game. Well, if you knew Iowa State at that time, you would know that in most games we had to outscore people. It wasn't, you know, we weren't going to win games 14-10 and 10-7, and, you know, we had to outscore them. You know, and that was the strength of our team, and because of that, you know, and so as a team, we lost a lot of games, and a lot of times in the fourth quarter, we were behind, and The only time I had any mention to Troy about hitting 2,000 yards was against Kansas State, the last game of his sophomore year, and I forget how many yards he was off, but I was aware of it, and we were behind, I think, by 14 at this point, and it just had started the fourth quarter. And I said, Troy, I don't know exactly where you're at. I put my arm around him. I said, but I'm going to call a draw. And I don't know how many more runs I'm going to be able to get you. He ripped off 28 on that run and ended up with 2010, I think, is what he ended up with. So at that point in time, he was like 18, you know, and because your job as a coordinator is to win games. It isn't to set records or any of that stuff. So we were trying to win games. And so there were no junk yards for that kid in the fourth quarter. And you know the strength of the Big Eight in his sophomore year, and then the Big 12 his junior year. You know the strength of those two conferences, and you know, so he wasn't getting any easy road to the things he accomplished.
One of the things that I find fascinating about your career, Mr. Loney, is how much the game has changed over the years, and you're still in it at the top level there at the Dallas Cowboys. Do you prefer the game of football now, or do you prefer it back in, say, 1995?
Back then.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now coaching the tight ends, but I spent 14 of my 15 years in the NFL as an offensive line coach. And I would go work guys out literally who had never put their hand on the ground. It's all in what your core beliefs are and things like that. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, it fits what I believe football is all about. So, you know, it's not to say that's better or that's what I prefer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of success that do it the other way. But my comfort level and my belief system goes with the way it used to be.
Well, you probably don't like watching the Big 12 these days then, do you?
Oh boy, it's a new ball game now. It used to be that you had to run the ball. Now it is a different game. And I don't hesitate to say that, you know, and like most 65-year-olds, that, you know, a lot of stuff probably has passed me by. But you know, stuff like that's a new thing for me. I'm not sure I understand it. And, you know, you have the same thing. And people wonder, how did Dak Prescott fall to the 135th pick or whatever he was? Well, the reason was he had never had his hands underneath the center's legs. He had never called a play in the huddle. Now, he has so many intangibles as a person and as a competitor that those things easily were overcome. But there's a lot of guys that get into calling a play and you know, they're about halfway through calling the play and you can tell you deer in the headlights, you know, so different game.
Do you think that those spread quarterbacks, and there's more spread offenses in college football now than there were 20 years ago, obviously. Do you think that hinders the quarterbacks greatly when they get to the NFL?
I think it shows that they've got more development, you know, that has to be done. Mm-hmm. I don't think it takes away from their God-given talent.
Yeah.
I think it does put them to where development there is going to take a while.
Well, it's been great catching up with you, Steve, and I want to give a shout-out to Dennis Bloom. And this is interesting, I think, for a lot of the folks listening to this. They read Brent's articles for us here at Cyclone Fanatic, and Brent's always told me about how great of a guy you are. You and Brent's father, man, you guys grew up together. Is that accurate?
We did. We were at Marshalltown High School together. He was really an excellent athlete. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he didn't play high school football, but he did play football at Marshalltown Community College for a head coach by the name of Herb Taylor as a wide receiver. I mean, he had that kind of, you know, Cole Beasley type, shake and bake. And,
yeah.
And excellent golfer. I think he shot a 78 the other day. And in fact, he was playing with Brent, I think, on Saturday.
They like to brag about their golf games.
Yeah.
They don't keep that quiet.
So, and really an excellent baseball player, is center fielder. And as you know, in the game of baseball, you got to be strong up the gut. And he was good. But we were good at Marshalltown. We accomplished quite a bit. But we go back to there, and then he came to Iowa State and became a fraternity brother of mine. He went to MCC and then came to Iowa State, he came to Iowa State, and I don't think it had a beer before he'd come to Iowa State, and so We changed that for him, whether that's for the good or bad. But
well, that's,
he was all about sports and still is.
Still is.
We used to, in high school, my dad had a grocery store, and we'd take the delivery truck. And you talk about unsafe, but we took the delivery truck, and we'd just throw a couple, like, Lazy Boys and stuff in the back of that thing. And we'd all have dates on Friday night. And then when the dates were over, everybody would jump in the van, and we drove down to St. Louis, and we would hit a weekend doubleheader on Saturday and a game on Sunday and head back to Marshalltown on Sunday night. So that was a staple once we got our driver's license. And so great St. Louis Cardinal fan, but better than that, he's just a tremendous person.
Well, it sounds like you are too, Steve, and I really appreciate your time. I know it's a busy time of year, doing a bunch of scouting and working guys out. So, on behalf of everybody, when you get back to Ames, I know that you're still super busy. But once retirement comes, we'd love to see you hanging around Iowa State more. Okay,
Coach?
Oh,
I will. My son-in-law Jake Hansen has Hansen Homes and builds homes in Ames and Gilbert and just build a house, and he put a room on that house for Terry and I, so we've always got a place, and we always know where home is, and Ames, Iowa is it.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate your time. It's very great to catch up with you.
Well, I appreciate all you do for Cyclone Athletics, because I keep up with things through you and a couple other things, but I appreciate your work.
Well, go Cowboys, okay, Coach?
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
I sincerely hope that you all enjoyed that as much as I did. Steve Loney is my two greatest takeaways from spending that time with him, and I also got to spend some time with him on the phone after the interview. A couple things. One, Loney's one of those guys where when you talk, you just shut up and listen, because you're going to learn something. It may not be about football. Maybe it will be. It probably will be, because the guy's a football genius. But it's going to be about life. He can teach you. He's a great coach. And usually great coaches know more than about the sport that they're in. Number two is, I leave this, and I want to leave this final impression of Steve Loney with you guys. Again, I think I've met three people in my life who love Iowa State as much as Steve Loney does. there's probably a top five. I should do a column on this, but he's right there with McCarney, and he's right there with Bill Finley. And that is a very high endorsement for the man you just heard here on the Off the Record Cyclone Fanatic podcast that is presented by the Iowa Clinic. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic. Again, I don't just endorse companies, folks. I'm very selective about it. I fill about 20 hours of radio and podcast time a week between KXNO and Cyclone Fanatic. And if you're endorsing every company that comes along, you lose your message over time. I love the Iowa Clinic. They've done a lot for me and my family. And Dr. Nicholson's the best doctor I've ever had personally. I can't say enough about these fine people at the Iowa Clinic, and we appreciate their partnership here with us at Cyclone Fanatic. So head on into the Iowa Clinic for all of your medical needs, and please tell them that Cyclone Fanatic sent you. Thanks to Steve Loney. I want to give a shout-out to Dennis Bloom, Brent Bloom's father. Dennis was the one, and you heard Coach and I talking about that in the middle, but he's the one who really got this set up for me, I'm hoping that Coach Loney and I will have a lifelong friendship as well through this, because he's a guy who I really admire, I really look up to, and really cool to be able to spend some time with him here on the Off the Record podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Not sure when the next Off the Record podcast will be, but I would guess it'll be here in a couple of weeks. If you have any requests as to who you'd like to hear on the Off the Record podcast, feel free to shoot them my way on Twitter at Chris M. Williams, Chris M. Williams at CycloneFanatic.com. Also on Facebook as well. You can search Cyclone Fanatic or my personal page, Chris M. Williams. Chris Williams at KXNO, I believe, is what the business page is. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week here in Iowa or around the United States, wherever you're listening from.